Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get back to the screen here. People on Patreon, we left a call-in number for you guys. So if you would like to call in and discuss the topic, if you are concerned. Yes, I heard about Craig Mack, but everyone on Patreon, you can go ahead and call in now, and we'll try to get to your call. Craig Mack died, man. He was 46 years old. That was crazy to hear that. That was so crazy to hear that. All right, let's see what we got here, hopefully.
People on Patreon, we left a call-in number for you guys.
Okay, you have to turn it down. Eric Code 386, you have to turn it down. Eric Code 386, you're on the show.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm going to make sure everybody can hear you. Everybody can hear her fine? Okay, what's your name on Patreon?
Ketona 31.
Okay, all right. Well, how you doing this morning? I appreciate you joining us on the Patreon.
Oh, you're welcome. I noticed
all right,
that in Texas.
What's on your mind about the bombings in Austin?
I'm finding it really disturbing that there's a lot, the most issues that you're posting about, a lot of it is taking place in Texas. And I'm showing, when I look at the news that you put the clips up for, that the police act like they're showing some kind of concern, but they're really, it doesn't seem like they're really doing much about it, since it seems like the hate crimes, whether it's against black people or just period, is getting worse in that state. Is there, like, any particular laws going on that's allowing people to be more free with their guns?
No, it's not any new law that's here in Texas that allows them to be more free with their guns, no.
I don't know. I think it's crazy. And I'm in Texas right now, so it's making me very, concerned if I should walk out my room and go anywhere.
No, it's not that bad. Let me tell you something. One thing I will not do is live my life in fear. I'm not going to do that. Because, you know, I don't know your belief system, but I'm like this. You know, I believe in God, and God took care of me all this time. Of course, you got to use common sense, too. God gave you 5 senses and use them. Always keep your head on a swivel. Keep your ears open. If it don't look right, sound right, if you don't feel right about being somewhere, then move around. Keep your eyes on certain people. I always do that everywhere I go. I don't care what color it is. If you're looking funny, acting funny, then you will get my attention. Don't sit anywhere with your back to the door. Make sure you always can see the door. Make sure you know where every exit at and every location that you're sitting at. That used to do that everywhere you go. I don't care if you're in a rich area or a poor area. You should just do that. That should be your life, especially as a black person.
I need to start doing that. I usually have my back to the door. I need to start switching around because I can't. I can.
No, you need to switch it up
to a certain extent, but yeah.
Yeah, switch it up. Yeah, you could walk in the area and you feel that vibe is not right. In certain restaurants or whatever, I've done that before. I said, I can't be in here. I said, the vibe ain't right. I leave. Now, you can call that whatever you want, but that's like we as African people, we touch more into our spirituality anyway. So if I feel that vibe, the negative energies around, I say, no. Something ain't right with this place. I'm going to leave. I got to go somewhere peaceful, you know.
Yeah, I definitely want to. I've been boycotting restaurants because I keep going and patronizing restaurants, and I feel like I'm black in the restaurant. And it's like I watch the servers, whether it's a black server, black, a white, or whatever the server's race is. I see that they – and it's like a stigma that I hear from other servers that, you know, black people don't really tip very well, so we're not going to give them great service. And it's getting worse and worse. And, like, you go in a restaurant, you want to be served properly, you know, just the basic stuff that you should be doing anyway, and it's just – really sad that I'm sitting there spending all this money on a plate of food and you can't even give me the same level of service you're giving the table right next to me that happens to be all Caucasian people, you know, and I watch just to see if that's just the service is bad or if it's because I'm black. And I feel that way, even though I don't know if that's the case, but if it's happening more often than not, that gives me the impression that it has to be due to my skin color, even though I'm as light as I don't know what, but at the end of the day, I'm still black, so...
Well, why do you think you were going to get a pass as you light-skinned?
Well, I didn't think I was going to get a pass, but my issue is the fact that, you know, some people especially out here, because I live right around in Oklahoma. So, you know, a lot of people in Oklahoma think I'm white because of how light I am. You know what I'm saying? So, but apparently it doesn't seem to matter if you're light as I don't know what. You know, it still doesn't matter these days. And I don't look at getting passes for anything. You know what I'm saying? But at the same token, I don't like to feel so black anywhere. You know, unless it's in a Black Panther movement or something like that, where black power, you know what I'm saying? But in a situation where I'm sitting in a restaurant, just want to mind my own business and get my food in a timely manner, you know, I feel like it's getting ridiculous that I have to sit there and wait and wait and wait. And then at the end of the thing, that's when they want to beef up their, their greetings and stuff.
Well, I have, one thing a lot of the folks don't like about me is that I value myself and my money. And if I look around, I notice you're serving everybody, you're not serving me, and you better come in and give me some water. Then if I notice the attitude, I'm going to say, you know what, don't worry about it, we good. And I leave, and I just never return to something like that. Like, one thing you're not going to do is disrespect me, because I'm a great tipper, actually. I believe in it. And you know, I'm not so-called a stereotype. Now, I know where that stereotype comes from about black folks, because, yes, some black folks don't want to tip. They say, they're like, tip? Tip for what? That's their job to bring me food. You know, I've heard plenty of black people say that. That's true. At one point in time in my life, I was the same way. I was the same. So I can't say nothing about that stereotype. There's a lot of black folks that think that way. But then once I realized, wait a minute, them people working, if they actually give me good service, okay, and they doing that, they have a smile on their face, they don't have an attitude, then, yeah, give them a tip. And I believe in tipping very well. You know, anywhere I go. So if they was ever pull that with me, they'd be missing out on a great tip. You know, and I also said too, please don't be rude to me in the restaurant, because I'm a record you and you ain't gonna like it once I get to my computer.
I hear you on that one.
But they haven't done it yet. They haven't done it yet. So since they haven't done it yet, it's been all good.
Yeah, I try not to get upset in public places because I have a temper. So if I get too upset, you know, it's going to be a problem. But I don't believe in cussing somebody out with curse words. I believe in cussing them out with proper words. And then I start writing the letter as the joke goes on. I'm going to write a letter to the organization of the company, you know, and go all the way up to the office of the president in a company. So it's not, you're not good to piss off somebody who knows how to write a letter. That's how I always say it.
Right. I definitely agree with that. But I want to thank you for calling the show today. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Let's get back to the... Yeah, I'm like that. You're not going to treat me any kind of way. It just is what it is, especially if I'm spending money. If black folks would actually get like that a lot more, they respect you. See, the thing is, when I forgot what rapper it was, he wanted to go and talk about these people following them in a high-end store, and then you still go buy the stuff and act like you showing that Caucasian man up. Like, they still got your money, fool. You're not showing him up for anything. Erico 737,
you
on the show.
Hey, what's going on, Phil? This is Bahiji Dean out.
Okay, what's up, man?
Nothing much, brother. Nothing much, man. But, you know, I lived in Austin. The 737 area code is an Austin number, man. But I was feeling it before I left. I took me and my family, and we moved to South Atlanta. And it's coming. You can feel the tension, you know. And we gotta be on cool. We gotta be on code. We gotta be on point. We gotta watch out for each other.
Yeah, man. We have to watch out for each other because. They ain't playing, man. And, you know, unfortunately, you have some black folks who are just oblivious. They are oblivious to what's going on. They really think that it can't happen to them. Like I don't know, like, this, you know, some of this current generation of black people just make me shake my head. I really think they need Donald Trump just to get them in line, to make him say, wait a minute.
Right.
You didn't got too, feeling too good about yourself?
Yeah, it's a little bit too slack, you know, and ultimately we've given too much ground, you know, and with what's going on in South Africa and the way they're standing up for themselves, and to think that they don't see this as well and they don't have their own opinions and they're going to want to stand up and try to set an example here for what they feel that the South Africans may do to them there, like, we have to know that we have to defend ourselves. We have to be aware of how violent and how dangerous they really can get.
Right. I mean, you look at literally what's happening in these schools right now. It's like, it's crazy to me that all black leadership groups or just every black person should have had just emergency meetings nationwide about, wait a minute, how are we going to pull our
right.
resources together to create schools for our children? Because we don't hear schools that is like private schools being shot up. We don't hear any of that. So it's always those public schools. Why aren't we creating our own schools? Well, we have to do it. Instead of giving them tithes to that church, 10%, take that 10% and start creating some schools.
I saw that, man. You know, being a Bahia Dean in particular, man, I grew up Muslim. So, you know, I've experienced a little bit. I've gone to a couple churches. I've seen how many times the collection plates float around. And I'm like, where exactly did I get a message that I need to pay for here? I got the concert side, but hold on a second. Why are you asking for all this money? But, I don't get that, especially if the money isn't circling back into the community. If that money that you're paying for, if the guy's driving a Bentley and he's got a 5,000, 6,000 square foot house and there's no businesses that are owned by the churches, there's nothing there employing and keeping the community fed, how is that reasonable? How is that?
I agree that 100%. Like I said, we need some schools right now. I don't know what more to say. See, one other thing I've learned, and I've been paying attention to the black people, and it's kind of good, like I said, once again, all this stuff is happening to black people, because when it was really, like, the bombings was happening and the Klan and all this stuff was happening, that made us closer together. It's like, once that kind of stopped happening, we got far apart, we started taking on this Caucasian mindset of we're individuals, and we're separated from the group. And start having this class system within ourselves, and we are worse today than we were back then, even though we had the Klan and everything with their foot on our necks.
But we knew to link up. We knew the community up. That's honestly the reason why when I moved, I chose to come to Atlanta and come to the south side of Atlanta in particular, because, you know, with the movement and what's going on in this area, this is the one spot where it's still concentrated black, because they've taken over the north side, and Atlanta is getting into that gentrification point as well. Decatur is nothing like it was when I was there 15 years ago. And if we don't start holding down specific spots and making a stand in these communities to say, this is the business that I'm bringing here and we are going to build this up. This is not going to be a job that I have and I'm just going to work this job. This is going to be a corporation that I create and employ our own. Then we're going to continue to we're not going to have anything at all, and they're going to have that much more of a way to just take everything from us.
Right. And one thing that, you know, no other group does in this country, they don't look for no one's permission to do it. They don't look for no one's opinions about what they're doing. They just go ahead and do what they have to do. But it seems like with us as black people, and I've said this before, it's like anything we do, we look to them to know what their opinion, if their feelings are hurt or whatever it may be. And I'm like, why did you do that? But another black person,
yeah,
you like, F them.
Right. I remember I had I work retail, and so I had a white customer that I was talking to one time, and I was telling her, you know, just I have a hard time biting my tongue, so I had talked to her and I told her, you know, that integration was one of the biggest detriments to our community, and from when you look at it from just on the outside looking in, you know, how foolish can you be to look at somebody that doesn't even consider you a human being, doesn't even think that you're a person, and say to love me as your neighbor? Come on now. That was.
Well, integration was nothing about morality or even giving Dr. King what he wanted. Integration was given because it didn't cost anything to them to give integration. The elites in this country wanted the black dollar, and they really couldn't get it wholesale. They can get it to a point, but they couldn't get it wholesale because the black dollar stays circulating in the black community. So the elite said, well, look, let's give them, we got this Martin Luther King guy, let's go ahead and give them the integration they want. Let's even let them come into our institution to get educated because they're going to come and work for us, a lot of talent in that black community. We're going to get the money from them coming to Macy's and Bloomingdale's and all these other stores that black people probably didn't have. And to this day, there you go. That's why our money leaves the community. So integration caused us to go, say, forget the black retail seller, and let's go to the one that got little shiny stores.
Exactly. And it's just time out for all that. You know, we've seen what happened in the last 50, 60 years. Okay, we made that mistake. We made that loss. But anybody that's listening to me right now, get your wins up. Real talk. Take it back for your own. If you know how to do anything, do it for yourself. All the patent law, all the everything that they say that you can't do, it's all open source. It's all open book. You can find a free way to do it. Do it for yourself.
Right. Right. I definitely hear you there, man. But what's somebody talking about? Background noise? I don't know. But all right, man. I definitely appreciate
you. Yeah, my wife talking in the back too. So I got.
Oh yeah, she's loud too. All right, man. We'll take it easy.
All right. All right, brother. Take care.
All right, brother. All right. Good brother there. He's one of our members. Let me check. Matter of fact, let me check the page. I'm not even looking at it right now. Anyone that's on Patreon right now that so you say at work at LaWanda. Okay, I'm just reading some of the comments on Patreon. I haven't even went over there. If any of you guys want to call in, you can. I'll just keep back checking. Like I said, I won't be on here too much longer. Did I answer that call already? Did I answer this call?
Well, I literally just looked at it last night, so it has. If it was there on Monday, then it should be there today.
Okay, I guess that's the same person. One person say, "How can I call in?" You can call in if you join our Patreon by a minimum of $2 per month, and you can see. Ashley, you say long live Killmonger. That's funny. That's real funny. Yeah, Killmonger was definitely right. That's for sure. Killmonger was right. But, you know, right now, also, what we're seeing going on in the news, and you talk about people being attacked, there's a lot of people attacking Minister Louis Farrakhan right now. I don't know if you've seen a lot of that because of his Savior's Day message that he spoke about, you know, different issues. And, of course, anytime they speak of Minister Farrakhan, they take what he say and they take a small clip and they don't play what he says in its entirety. And that's what's so dangerous about the media. And, you know, I was going to get into that and say, you know, let's play his clip in its entirety. Let's show what he actually said, because the media have been doing that to Farrakhan like for years. They don't never show what he says in full. Because you could take a clip from anybody and just say, oh, you heard what they said? They hate people. They this and that and the third. They always do that. What I say to that is that's why the media is dishonest. That's why the media is fake. And also the good thing that's happening out of that is exposing those wishy-washy black folks that say they your friend, they love you in secret or whatever, but then when them folks come out and say, you denounce this person, you go ahead and do it. You're shuck and jive. You're scared. One of them, they represented Barbara Lee, started attacking Farrakhan or whatever. And I'm like, what are you doing? One thing that they're not going to do, none of them going to do. They are not going to tell me who I can and cannot talk to in my own community. Do we as black people go to them and say, denounce that person, and I better not see you talking to them? Hey, man, who the hell are you? You don't tell me who I can talk to and who I can't talk to. I'm a grown man. And if just because you're angry at them, now I'm more curious about who they are as a person. Because Malcolm X said, embrace the people in our community that they tell you to stay away from and run away from the one that they love and give to you and say, this is the people you should follow. Malcolm X said that. And Malcolm X is right. You always have to be careful who they're propping up. I mean, they hate Minister Farrakhan because some statements he said he took out of context. But why aren't they talking about how Minister Farrakhan has helped, you know, brothers come out of jail and actually turn their life around? Why don't talk about that? Why don't talk about brothers that was out here thugging that the Minister Farrakhan and the nation helped turn around into good family men? Why don't they talk about any of that? They are so afraid of the Nation of Islam that they banned Message to the Black Man, that book, from them brothers reading in jail. Why? Because they're afraid that the changes that happens with those brothers, with that book. You're afraid of publication because they don't want the black man to turn around. They don't want him to say, hey, what I'm doing is wrong. I need to be a good man. I need to take care of a family. I need to be someone in my community. I need to make a difference. They don't want that. So, of course, they're going to keep Message to the Black Man away from you. And I'm the type of person, when it comes to unification, I have to unify with all my brothers and sisters in the community. So if you're a Christian, then I'm going to speak to you at that level and have a good conversation with you. If you're one of my brothers in the Nation of Islam, I'm going to speak to you and join together there. If you're a person who has no religion at all, I will speak to you and join you there. If you're a person that believes in Hebrew Israelite, I can speak to you and join you there. I'm going to find ways to get in contact with you, have a conversation with you, because at the end of the day, when these terrorists are out here bombing people, they don't care if you're a Christian or Nation of Islam or Hebrew Israelite or a 5%er or you think you're Moor or whatever you want to think about yourself. They are just planting bombs, and then they are hoping that you pick it up and you lose your life. They ended up that 39-year-old brother and that 17-year-old young boy. Did you think he said, I wonder if a Christian lives here? He didn't ask that question. All they focus on is the color of our skin. Well, Sonya, I'm not saying, you're right, religion don't save nobody. You're right about that. Only your relationship with God, the Most High, whatever you want to call him, will help you to save yourself. Because you got to save yourself. Because you're here, right? And we need to unify through the diaspora. And that's what I teach people. Unify through the diaspora. That's why I bring Africans on my show. Let's talk about any issues we may have, misconfusions that we may have, because when they want to put out disease X, and the first place they're going to try to put disease X is in Africa. They're going to always try to kill us off. Trust me. So we got to unify. We have to unify and pay attention and have no trust for anything. But what we got going on, any shucking and jiving sellouts, we got to cast them out too. Because even in South Africa, where the brother was speaking about that, you have black South Africans that's voting against the EFF and Julius Malema, voting against them. They have some blacks that are probably wishing apartheid was back over there. You're like, you got some blacks now that would love for Jim Crow to be back, because that's how warped in the minds that they are. We have a horrible group of black people within our community. If it's not the sellouts, it's the thugs and the hood rats. That's what we got to deal with. But even when it comes to them, do you think that when they're dropping off packages and hoping you pick it up and it's a bomb, do you think they care if you're a sellout? Do they think if you're a hood rat or a thug, do you think they care? No, all they see is this. That's all they see. That's good enough. So since that's all they see, we need to unify, put aside our petty differences, whatever that may be, pool our resources together to create businesses, to create schools. Media is extremely important. You guys understand that. Media is used as a tool of war. Propaganda is always used as a tool of war, but the truth is always used as well. Anytime they have done a war within this country, first, it's the overtime of the media propaganda. For instance, if we go back to the Iraq war, They just didn't go to Iraq and start doing anything. What did they do for months upon months, a year or so? Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. Every day, Saddam going to kill his people. Saddam, Saddam, Saddam. Every day, to convince the American public that Saddam Hussein is the most horrible person in the world, so you can be okay for your sons and daughters to go to Iraq to do something that they should not have done. It starts off with media propaganda, period. They understand that. This is why when it comes to the Internet, they want to get into control of the Internet, because they understand that now you have access to information. Now you have access to people that's going to show you the stories that they're trying to hide. See, they're not the gatekeepers anymore like they used to be, and they don't like that. They want to get the control back. Same thing with the music industry. They don't like that people have control to put out their own music now. And I don't understand black people with that either. Why are you going to them to sign you? Why? You don't need them anymore. You don't need them to put a video up for you. You don't need them to distribute your music anymore. You got iTunes, you got Google Play, you got things like TuneCore, where you can put on Tidal and Spotify or whatever, and you can monetize your content. Why are you guys in the music industry who are black still going to them to distribute your music? I don't understand. You have the Internet now. The Internet can go all over the world. Instantly, people can see your music, whatever you may have going on. That's what we have to understand. Get rid of the gatekeepers. The moment you understand your power as black people and monetize your talent, for too long you have allowed them to monetize all your talent, the good and the bad things that you're doing. They monetize it, and then you look up, and then what you do, you go complain and say, oh, they stealing our stuff. No, they stealing our stuff, but we allow them to steal our stuff. We don't create businesses and monetize our own stuff. And when you don't create businesses and monetize your own stuff, you don't build an economy to protect you. And so you're vulnerable to bombers that's happening like that in Austin, Texas. Do you really think, notice something, if that black community was in an area and they built it up and it's more like, say, a higher middle class community, let's say they built that, do you think he would just maybe creep in like that? See, they always do that. They go creep in into the black communities, do a lot of dirt. Sometimes they say, all the crime in Chicago is about gang banging. No, it'd be those terrorists slipping in and shooting black folks too. It don't just be gang members doing that mess. They slip in the middle of the night, they shoot you. I know you saw that video where they got masks that they can put on their face to look like a black dude. They can put the hands and everything. They can go commit crimes and then run off. I know you've seen those masks. It's scary looking. I don't put nothing past those who have shown me that they have a history of just doing evil. I just don't put nothing past them. Erico 240, you on the show?
Hey, how you doing, Brother Phil? Can you hear me good?
Hey, what's going on, man?
All right. I had a question. You were speaking about the Farrakhan situation, and
right.
I guess the question is this. Some of the black Democrats actually came out condemning, not condemning Farrakhan, but condemning his statements. So my question to you is this, and you talk about voting a lot, and my question is, if we have these black Democrats that, you know, talk down on these black leaders, you know, that kind of conflicts me when it comes to voting, because it seems as though if we're voting, we're either, one, voting for black leaders who talk down on other black leaders, or two, they're funded by Jews like George Soros. So I wanted to know, how should we, with these midterms coming up, how should we handle voting in these elections, if we should at all?
Well, no, we should vote, because like I said, we got that Harris County judge right here in Court 209, McSpadden. He needs to go, period. I mean, he's exposed his hand. How many brothers he locked up? So now I would never tell you not to participate. But you need to study who the candidates are. You need to study who's funding them. I mean, sometimes we got to take time to study. You can't depend or on just one individual or a few individuals to give you all the information. You say, look, it may be some local races in your area that needs to be looked into. So look into them, and then now you are you talking about the national level? Because local politics is more important than anything.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was saying. You know, on a more local level, I think, and I love that you push that message of talking on a local level, because those are the people that could really affect your life on a day-to-day basis. I just think it's
right.
Bad sometimes when we don't take advantage of those local elections, and then we complain about it. But I mean, we don't show up. We just don't.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Like what Julius Malema said. He said if you're in the EFF and you're not registered to vote, he said, what good are you? And he said, if you're not registered to vote, kick them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and
all,
I agree
that's
with
all
that.
I've been, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, brother, I definitely appreciate you calling. And, you know, have a good day, man.
All right, man. I just want to say real quick that I really appreciate what you do for you. I've been a Patreon for a little while. I've been following you for a couple of years, and you really, along with Sidenet TV, you too put out a lot of good information, man. I'm proud of you, and I'm happy for what you do for our people, man.
Well, I thank you for supporting us on Patreon, man. Without people like you, we wouldn't have this going on right now, so I appreciate you.
All right. Have a good day, brother.
All right, brother. Yeah, when it comes to voting, voting is important, and yes, you just got to figure out who you're voting for. I mean, we can't just vote for anybody, because you have a black people who will sell us out. And you have to follow their track record. Who are they speaking up for? What's the issues that they have going on? We can't just vote for people just because they're black. I mean, that's dumb, because you're black, but you could be a sellout. So, no, we don't need to do that. We need to wisely use the power of our vote. And if there's nobody that we can actually vote for, because they're just not good for any of us, and we may have to abstain on some people, but I wouldn't say abstain just completely and just don't vote, because too many of our brothers and sisters died for that. And we always talk about the ancestors. Well, that's disrespect to our ancestors who fought for that right. And some black folks say, well, voting don't count, and why do we vote? If voting didn't count, why do the Republicans always try to disenfranchise you, black man, black woman, from voting? If it didn't matter, they wouldn't waste their time trying to create voter laws to disenfranchise you. They wouldn't waste their time gerrymandering districts so you can't have any numbers and the power to vote. They wouldn't do that. They understand that political power is where it's at. They also don't like the demographic change, because when the demographics change, that means voting power changes. And then when you have this Lily White affair in the House of Representatives or Lily White affair in the Senate, when you have more people that's coming in that don't look like them, guess what's going to happen? More representatives going to show up that don't look like them, and they don't like that. So, of course, they're trying to do everything they can to harm your vote. And they love when you guys say, oh, well, voting don't matter. Why shouldn't I vote? Who cares? They ain't going to do nothing no way. Like, you got to think about what you're saying. If you want to know what means something, pay attention to the moves they make against you. You say unity is in the spirit. We cannot unify because we all have different creeds. Oh, no, black people unify very quick, but it's going to take more and more terrorism to make us do it. Oh, you just trust me. When the Trayvon Martin thing happened, black people unifying like this. I seen it right here in Houston. All over the country, black people unifying. There wasn't no division or anything. Religion wasn't the issue. Class wasn't the issue. The Mike Brown situation, everybody's unifying real quick. That's why I said back then, and some people didn't like it. It seems like it takes a blood sacrifice of black folks to unify, and that's bad. It shouldn't take somebody to die at the hands of a terrorist for you to unify. They shouldn't do that. And you unify for so long, then you let other people come in and co-opt and tell you how to think and how you should act and how you should feel, and then it causes dissension, and then it breaks apart. Just like when it came to Black Lives Matter. When Black Lives Matter first started out, it was good. When they started letting all those Caucasian liberals come in, it ruined it. I seen it how it happened. It ruined it. It shifted the focus off of really what it was about. I mean, some real empowerment, a real liberation talk, just on a younger level. I'm telling y'all can't do that, because when those liberals come in, and I coming in to you can't even articulate my struggle. Like one time, I don't know if you remember when Malcolm X had told that white woman, it said, you know, I would like to help. What could I do? And he said, you need to go back and tell your people about themselves, and you can help that way. He said, because she wanted to join with Malcolm X. He said, no, you can't join this. He said, but this is how you can help. And helping within her own community is great. You don't have to join with black. Some things black folks got to do on their own. If you want to help, talk to your community. You want to help, donate, finance the organizations, because you need money to do different things. But we don't need everybody else in the mix to articulate a black problem. Well, Ishmar, I don't know who you're talking about, but well, I don't know. I don't know who's playing, because I don't waste my time. You say he's not voting for Oprah? I don't know if that woman going to run or not, but Oprah, you know, like I said, well, she had her hand with the situation with Monique. You know, like I said, look, if you have that kind of money, you don't supposed to be undercutting no black folks. I've never seen her undercutting no white folks like that. You know, her and Lee Daniels and Tyler Perry, whatever the issues they had with Monique, they should have handled that behind closed doors somewhere, and you don't do that. You say you don't agree with voting nationally or federally. Well, that's your opinion, but at least you agree, vote locally. You know, that's fine. Yes, I know about the trolling. I know all about that. Maxine Waters, you say she a mama that don't take no mess. Don't be fooled by Maxine Waters. Trust me. You know, it's like they do all that talking, but what's going on? What's happening? If you had joined the Patreon, then you'll see the number on the chat, and then you can call it then. Oh, let's see here. Mr. Robert West, you have to send me your channel link, because that's not going to help me. And it probably was a moderator that did that, because I don't really – I know your name, so I don't have a reason to do that. Oh, you see, you know, I like early voting. I do like doing that. Early voting is really good. I don't like to vote on actual election day. Too many people. You say Oprah will not save America. I don't expect her to. Save yourself. Well, you know, we need to get we need to also have, you know, have a lot of black people moving to Atlanta. We need to have a lot more black people move to Houston and Dallas also. If you say you join the Patreon, then all you gotta do is go to the live stream, and then you will see in the description, the phone number will be there. You say Kamala Harris is a bed wench; she can't be trusted. Of course. I mean, just look. I mean, she's compromised. I mean, just look into. You know, like I said, I've committed to not getting involved in that conversation no more. The only thing I would say is, look at her husband; she's compromised. You can't be trusted.
Erico 512,
you're on the show.
Hello, what's up, Phil?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, I'm an Austin native. My name is Gold Soul Hakeem, man. I ain't hear nothing about these explosions going on, like not even from the mainstream outlets, man. I mean, that is just so crazy. And I heard it like from social media and my family, they even heard it from social media. I mean, these damn news outlets, man, they ain't worried about us.
No, they ain't worried about you. I know that. Like, all the stuff that's going on in South Africa right now, right? And, you know, I was telling my videographer, I was like, bruh, when you getting your – I say, hey, you need to get your passport, man. We need to get to South Africa, because there's a story over there. I said, that white girl, Lauren Southern, went over there, and just in straight lying about the white folks over there and not telling the story or the real story of the brothers and sisters. And I say, we need to get over there and tell that story.
Yeah. Definitely got to control the narrative.
Right, right. If you're not controlling the narrative, you ain't controlling crap.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
When it comes to this way, do you know the area where those explosions happened at in Austin? You familiar with them?
Well, I heard there was two of them on the northeast side, and I heard one of them was on the southeast side.
Right.
When you was talking about one of them being Hispanic and Latino, I think that's like on the southeast side, because that's more of a Latino-Hispanic area. And then on the northeast side, those are more of the black-dominant areas. They doing a lot of gentrification down there, like in South Austin. They doing a lot of, so they pushing a lot of blacks out towards, the outer parts of Austin, like Round Rock, Cobb, Buda, and, Pflugerville. That's where they pushing us out to. And those are nice areas, too. So, they giving us money so we can move out of there and go to those sides. And then next thing you know, those areas going to be dominated by black folks. So they just trying to put us out the city.
Yeah, they can do that because black, like I say, we don't really have strong economic, personal economic plans. And we also, don't unify on community level. So, yeah, they can pick you off one by one because, what they're doing to a lot of people is they're going to the homes and saying, hey, I'll buy your home straight up cash, this cash check right now. And some black folks ain't seen that kind of money cash. And they get excited.
Exactly.
Like, man, this money ain't exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing they offer you is exciting.
Yeah, and they gentrifying a lot of East Austin, too.
They doing what?
They gentrifying a lot of East Austin, too. So, most of those folks over there, when they see some money like that, man, they hurry up and take it and just run on off of it.
Yeah, that's sad, bro. I just hate to hear that. But we got to wise up, man, or you ain't have nowhere to stay. Because this was
happening. That's true.
The Caucasians, look, when black folks start coming to the city, they left, right? They call white flight. They went to the suburban areas. Now they want to come back to the city. So since they want to come back to the city, this is like nationwide. They want to come back to the city. So that's why they're going in, gentrifying the cities and trying to push black folks out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, exactly.
They don't want these black folks. They don't want these Latinos. They don't want these Arabs. They don't want none of them. They want them. But like I said, they everything they're doing, man, it's just going to just hurt them at the end of the day. Every time I see it happening like that. But brother, like I said, I definitely appreciate you calling the show. I'm going to get on about some more calls. And thank you for joining us on Patreon also.
All right. Thank you, Phil. And for the people that's coming to Austin, I know South by Southwest is a whole spring break. So just be careful. Don't even try to go down there. You don't know what's going to be happening down there on 6th Street and 5th Street and all that stuff down there. So just be careful if you're in Austin, man. Just really be careful.
Well, I agree with that. Be careful, but don't live your life in fear. I'm a firm believer of that, man. Get them tears. But, all right, man. Appreciate you.
All right, appreciate it.
All right. Air code 850, you're on the show.
Hello?
Air code 850, you're on the show.
Is that me?
That's you.
Oh. I'm Cleveland. You can hear me, right?
I can hear you.
Oh, hi, Philip Scott. How you doing?
I'm fine.
I just wanted to check in with you. I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan. I've been listening to you for quite some time, and I love what you do. So
I appreciate that.
Man, I'm just kind of shocked that you actually answered the call. I'm just shocked, man. It's like you're kind of a celebrity to me.
Nah, I'm not no celebrity. I'm just a black man trying to make it in America.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, man. So about this story though, it's kind of sad to hear, and I wish these things wouldn't be. Wish that white supremacy wouldn't be happening, but unfortunately, it's a reality that we have to embrace and end it if we're going to move forward in life. And
yeah.
I've been listening to some of your videos, and I've been trying to see, how do we end white supremacy? Because we have a lot of problems in our community that we do need to fix, and there are some problems aren't really our fault, but in order for white supremacy to end, we need to terminate those problems too. And I just want to ask, what do you think we would need to do first in order to end white supremacy?
Well, love ourselves first, love our community, put our petty differences mm-hmm. aside, unify in every which way. And that's just really a good start. If we do that, then white supremacy probably wouldn't be much of a problem because we could be self-sufficient. Self-sufficiency, the biggest issue with black folks is that they depend too much on white folks. That's just really the biggest problem. And if we completely didn't depend on them for anything except for necessities like services like water or lights or whatever, you paying your bill. But if we could grow our own foods, have our own schools, make our own mm-hmm. clothes, we could even probably do our own water services or whatever, create companies to do water, just be self-sufficient. Any group of people that's self-sufficient, then they aren't as easily controlled. Just having their black people go through a lot of psychological help, because a lot of us need it. And a lot of us walk around with unclear diagnosis of psychological issues due to racism and white supremacy that terrorizes us daily. If we could show the women in our community that the black men have enough businesses to hire them, and that they can wear their natural hair and do the things that they want to do and not be pressured to put in the yakki and all that because they have to conform to white folks that they feel uncomfortable with black women having their natural hair, that would change the mm-hmm. dynamic also. So it's a lot of things that we can do, like I say, collectively. Black women need to take over the black hair care industry. There's no reason for Koreans to be making billions of dollars off of black women's hair. One sister from Namibia told me that she did not understand why Asians was controlling black hair industry in America. She said it didn't make sense because where they said that they go to all black people for their stuff. They don't go to no Asians for hair care products. So that's something else we need to look at, because that's black women's money. If anybody needs to be rich, black women need to be rich off of their hair care products. That's great. We need to control our music, like I said
earlier.
Oh, yeah. We need to control our sports. We need to control mm-hmm. everything that we do and stop making everybody else money and control that thing ourselves. But we have to actually have some courage and strength and stop being cowards to do it for ourselves. That's really a lot of it. Just as a start.
All right. And I have one other question. I know you've done a lot of news stories about white supremacy in schools. You say that's really the first place we experience racism. How do you deal with that in school? Because I'm in high school. How do you deal with it?
Educating yourself mm-hmm. on what the truth is. because you're going to be indoctrinated in school under white supremacy. Like, it's a reason why they don't teach you about Africa. They don't teach you about how great Africa is. They don't teach you about, you know, what happened to you prior to the transatlantic slave trade. They don't even teach you what happened to you after slavery, all the black towns that you built that they destroyed, all the inventions that black people created in this nation, and they don't even talk about it. It's things that you use every day that black people created. They don't want to even talk about that. All they talk about is slavery, then go all the way up to Martin Luther King. They don't mention Malcolm X. They don't mention the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They don't mention a lot of people who were very pivotal to the civil rights movement. They don't even talk about that. So you have to fill in the blanks yourself. And our biggest problem is we have too many Caucasian female teachers teaching us, and they all on team white supremacy too. So whether they agree with that or not. So,
yeah,
man,
I definitely think,
and I appreciate you, bro.
All right, thank you.
Erico 407, you're on the show.
Hey, what's going on, Brother Phil?
What's going on, brother? What's your name?
My name, Brother Jeff. Brother Jeff. Brother
All right,
Jeff,
Brother Jeff.
I just, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just joined your Patreon.
Thank you, sir,
just now.
For doing that.
You're welcome.
Make
man.
Sure you check out all the content there. I tell people there's a lot of it there.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely, man, definitely. I'll definitely check that on. You know, now the Patreon, does it go by your real name or go by your Facebook name? Because what I did is I signed up with my I signed up under my Facebook name.
You know, Patreon is well, like I said, I used to have it in my description box. So you can put
right.
it as Advice Show. It's Advice Show Media on Patreon. So if you call and you're on there, so there you go.
Right, 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 right. Okay, okay, okay.
So what's on your mind, brother?
Well, you know, what's on my mind is that, man, the situation happening down in Austin, Texas, man, is
yeah.
a sad tragedy, man, and and yeah, it's kind of obvious that it's targeting only black folks, you know, in the community. And, you know, and I'm thinking, like, who else would do that type of evil thing right there, man? Either
well,
could be the KKK.
We all got an idea who,
right.
but I can't say who until I get some facts. Every once in a while, a curveball be thrown. So that's why I say I'm going to wait.
Right. Right, right, right. And you know, and the officers in Austin, Texas, yeah, they seem like they care, but, you know, that sheriff down there, but do you know him? Phil, I mean, I watched the clip that you put on your show, just that I forgot the sheriff's name.
You talking about the police chief?
Yeah, the police chief, yes, sir.
I don't know his name.
Okay.
Because I mean, he's new from what they say. Because actually the old Austin police chief is actually the
mm-hmm.
Houston police chief now. So this
right.
guy, I don't know who he is.
Okay. 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 That's right. You know. But other than that, man, well, you know, because I know you were talking about the black community, but
right.
my question is to you, Brother Phil. What would be the main objective to fix the infrastructure in my black communities, brother? You know, like, because I know you had a Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street, you know, so, and Rose, what's it called? Rosa Parks? Not Rosa Parks.
Rosewood.
The Rosewood and all them, like them powerful cities that we had back in the days, back in the 1920s. So, yeah, so what would be the infrastructure to be successful in these black communities, man?
Well, nope. What's the problems that you see with wrong the black community?
Well, the problem I see that for black folks that they're not multiplying together. They're not sticking together, not helping each other, not helping our elders in the communities. It just it's just a lack of knowledge in the communities, you know, things like that, you know. I mean, we do have the black leaders, but, you know, a lot of them ain't gonna take the advantage to learn. You know what I'm saying? So as far as me, I am a Haitian descendant. You know, I called your show a couple of times, Phil. So, you know, me as far as a Haitian descendant, well, I live in Orlando, Florida, you know. And as you know, I ain't trying to do no comparison, but you know, we all the same people, man. You know what I mean? You know
we
what I'm
are,
saying?
You're
I'm
black.
Haitian. You,
so,
yeah. Even though for the Congo of Africa,
that,
you know.
They drop that package off at your house too.
Right. But common sense would tell, like, why the hell a package would be delivered at my house at a certain time? And you know damn well I didn't order anything online. You know what I'm saying? Common sense would tell me.
Well, you can't fault them people because how many times have you had a package in front of your door and you're like, man, I didn't know this. What's this got going on? And then realize that maybe your cell phone company sent you something. It's happened to me before.
Right.
Or things you inspect in the mail. You call and say, why you send me this? Say, oh, in your email we told you we were sending you this and the third. Well, of course, they send it the right way with UPS or something like that, you know. So, and even UPS, like, when they come to my house, like, we don't answer it. They drop the package off, like, right there at the door. And, like, oh, they got a package right there, you know. So, maybe some people not thinking, you know, early in the morning, like, the first person, it was early in the morning. They're like, man, what's this? And they picked it up just out of curiosity, if anything. Pick it up, and then boom. You know what I'm saying? So,
but,
I guess.
But guess what, though, Phil?
What's that?
That's true, but. The name on the box. If your name's not on that package, don't open it. You know.
Well,
I agree.
I agree with that, but I don't want to armchair quarterback that and psychoanalyze that because like I know how people are.
Right.
Or just curiosity, impulse. I mean,
right.
A child could pick that up. You get what I'm saying? Like
exactly.
Curiosity.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean. Other than, you know, yes, I had packages came to my front of my front step, man, and I look at it, I'm like, oh, what the hell? Then I go to my neighbors, like, hey, here's your mail. You know what I mean? But other than that, you know, I wouldn't, you know, even, you know, just open up package, no random package, man. You know, gotta be very cautious. I mean, very cautious out here. You know what I'm saying? So, but other than that,
hold
man,
on a second.
Miss
Susu, thank you for the super chat. I appreciate it, sister. I'll make sure because I saw it pop up. I didn't. All right. So, yeah, brother, you got to be vigilant, of course, at all times.
Right.
But you're black. Being black in America means you got to be vigilant 24/7. Like I don't. That's why
right.
I'm telling black folks this dream. Don't never lay your guard down. I don't care who nice to you. Don't lay your guard down
yep.
with black folks. They got
exactly.
black folks that will kill you quicker than anything. So don't lay your guard down. Period.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And you never heard this saying, your biggest enemy in your black community is your own kind. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
I mean, but that's everywhere you go. That's everywhere you go, you know what I'm
right.
saying? Like, you know, as black men. You know as black men.
Right.
Some other black men are just so freaking screwed up. They get jealous minded.
Oh, yeah.
If a black man do something they can't do, a black man get
right.
a particular woman they can't get or whatever. You know how it is with some black men and that jealousy. Some black men are more jealous of other black men than I've ever seen. You get what I'm saying? And now you got this
right.
new generation of emotional men, which is the worst men
right.
I've ever seen in my life. So we have a lot of things in our community we need to fix. Trust me. On top of dealing with terrorists, dropping our packages at our door.
Right. Right, and you know, I don't know, man. I guess in my head I'm looking like, if that was the other way around, you won't do that to a white man, but you gonna do that to your own brother. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, same way, Phil. You go to a convenience store, you purchase something. A black woman, she right there. She checking you out. She gave you a little stink attitude and. Or whatever. See, the thing I'm saying that because I'm a truck driver, and I see them on two eyes, Phil. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, a black man purchased something, a black woman at the counter, she gives this nasty attitude. But next thing, when a white man comes, she all nice and kind and all. I'm like, wow.
Well,
you know.
To answer that, we got second
yes, sir.
Driving sellouts, male and female. That's just bottom line.
Right.
So.
Right.
But anyway, brother, I'm going to go ahead and move on to another caller because I'm going to have to wrap up the stream. I want to get these calls in.
Okay, Phil, appreciate you, man. So I'm a fan of yours.
You,
I'm going to keep on the Patreon, brother. Peace.
All right. Thank you, brother, for joining. Be careful on that road.
All right.
Let's see here. Oh, this person was here longer. Eric Coe 607, you on the show.
Oh, yeah. Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right, great, great to hear. I was listening to the other callers, and I wanted to touch on.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Thank you, T.Y. Kane, number five. Thank you. They say glass of support. Okay, hold on. You can go ahead.
All right. I was listening to some of the other callers, and I think the gentleman before had a interesting question. He was like, what can we do? On the infrastructure section, in order to help us, you know, saying to move forward. This is my opinion. First thing first, we need establish some type of banking network. You know, saying so where we can come together. You know, saying whether it's a campaign that get passed out.
Let me stop you. We do have black banks. Already
true.
Established, we just got to start using
Yeah, but we have – okay. Are these banks in our control, or are they at least within the United States or under federal control or something like that?
Well, in order for you to operate, you got to have that FDIC insurance. So anyway it goes, it don't matter if you create a black bank, in which a lot of them are black-owned, but you still living in the system. You got to go through them to get certain licenses
true.
To operate. So – you know, if you want to be completely black-owned, then you have to move to Africa.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I was hinting to. You know what I mean? Because, there's been a common idea to think that we can honestly integrate, you understand, with this inside the United States under these circumstances, you know what I mean, through racism, through oppression. And I always sit back and wondered how come we don't sit back and say, you know what, instead of pulling up a chair to somebody else's table, how come we just don't build our own table? How come we just don't build our own table back in Africa? Like, seriously.
Because a lot of black folks, unfortunately, is so used of depending on the white man for everything, and a lot of us don't want to roll up our sleeves and actually sacrifice and pool our resources together and pool all the great talent we have in our community that we're giving a lot of white-owned corporations to build it for ourselves. I mean, and then a lot of black folks are afraid that if we build it, that the white mobs will come and destroy it again, because I've heard that argument. So basically we have a lot of fear.
I think I was the one that posted that comment, and I said that within the United States. Because
yeah,
I heard
if you can get rid of the fear and cowardice out of black people and just get them unified, we can actually fix our problems probably overnight.
I agree with you on that part. There's only a couple of things I did want to not a couple of things. Only one other thing I want to touch
on. Hold on,
and go at least go back onto the infrastructure.
Hold on a second, Stacy Scarlett.
Okay.
Thank you for the super chat. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So now regarding our infrastructure, one, we don't have any transportation. We don't have airline. We don't have at least some type of shipping company. We don't have these things. And listen, we spent, and I looked at the Black Panther movie, and I'm talking about numbers wise. You understand? It did a billion in 26 days, 28 days or 26?
26.
But 26. So it did a billion in 26 days, right? Most and everybody only donated $20. I mean, I went to the movie, I spent $20 or whatever I spent. And we have the money within our community. You understand? I even looked up the Africa's GDP and looked up United States African American population GDP. We dwarf the 45 million in America. Average GDP is 1.3 trillion Not 1.3 billion, 1.3 trillion that continent of Africa.
Let me stop you. Let me stop you right there. I think they spent what, $200 to $300 million to make Black Panther, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Black people give over $500 billion a year to churches. See, we could take that money and make Black Panther.
That's absolutely got to stop. You understand?
I'm
like,
just saying,
it really comes.
I keep bringing up
yeah.
churches because
true,
because
true, true.
If you watch that, I don't know if you saw it yet, the tithing video I made on the Patreon page, you'll see how ridiculous it is that we are doing that, and we're doing that by being misled and doing it in error and being afraid
True.
To think God's going to curse us if we don't give 10% to the preacher. And yet we don't have schools. Like you say, we can't create media companies. We can't create movies. Marvel made $1 billion.
I don't ever subscribe to the word can't. I mean, I think it's a defeat without actually trying. That's my motto. You understand? Anytime I hear a person say can't, I was like, you haven't tried. How can you say can't? So, like I said, we do have to overcome the fear of failure. That's what it is. We are so reliant, and we can love the ability to point the finger, and we got that luxury. I'll give you my little brother as an example, right? He does not want to learn how to work on cars. But he would rather take a car to the shop, and that way, if he mess up, he could complain. Now, he could simply just learn how to work on a car. Cars are like puzzles. You could just figure it out. It's putting it back on, the same thing, taking it apart, putting it back the same place, diagnosing it. It's just troubleshooting. That's it. But, somebody taking the time to do so requires effort and accountability, and people want to shift accountability and blame on other people. And I'm not saying, any of these things that happened and transpired in the past are not true, and people are not actively trying to hold us back, through policy, through economic deprivation, through land displacement. But we have to take some type of account. Like, there's other groups within this country, And I hate hearing excuses sometimes, man. We don't want to be uncomfortable. That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't want
to
be uncomfortable.
Right. Let me point out that. Let me answer that. You're right. If we tell Black people, say, look, check this out. We spend all this money. Everybody should be kissing our butt when we walk in the store. So if they disrespect you, let's come together and say, look, we're gonna boycott this business. Trust me, if all Black people nationwide would boycott that particular business, they'll be. First of all, the first thing they do, they go big Al Sharpton, they go big whoever else to try to come talk to us and say, hey, could you get them to stop boycotting? Trust me, we move a lot of things in this country. Don't let them talk to you like you ain't crap.
Yep. And so, meanwhile, most of these.
Uncomfortable. Hold on, brother. Mm-hmm. The Montgomery bus boycott lasted over a year. Those black
Montgomery
people
boycott? When was it? Hold on. I'm sorry.
The Montgomery bus boycott lasted over a year. They didn't stop it until a law was changed. A law. If they didn't do that and they didn't take the money away from the white folks, they would have said, man, forget them Negroes. I'm not doing nothing. But once they took the money away for a year, they said, oh, no, we got to make some changes.
Yeah. That's probably one misconception that we needed to erase from ourselves, that is thinking that money – white people are colorblind, you know what I'm saying? And money is the root to the tool we need to access and unlock everything. Money is just, like I said, it's just a tool, but they have an agenda behind it. Like I said, the only way we can survive as a people, like I said, we have to, one, be willing to be uncomfortable. That means giving up simple luxuries like AC or internet, not even internet, but everybody loves internet. But you get where I'm coming from. You understand? I'm pretty sure you can hear it in my accent. My mom and dad's from Trinidad. I lived in Trinidad. You know what I mean? I went to school there, lived there for 3 years, 3.5 years. And what I've witnessed down there is a sense of community. You understand? Everybody, I like the village mentality where one, the neighbor, is responsible for, the other neighbor's kid. The teacher's responsible for, holds the kids in the class responsible. I'm not gonna lie. When I came back from Trinidad into this country, and I seen the education system, and seeing how kids talk to their the teachers. When I was there, they were still beating kids. You understand? They're like in Trinidad, the teacher was still able to hit you with a stick, which is cool. You understand? Because I believe in discipline and having respect for the people that's educating you. You understand? Because they don't have to. Period. So, like I said, there's been a breakdown. And at least I see
look,
in American culture when it comes.
Let me ask you about education. You said Trinidad, right?
Yeah. And by the way, Trinidad.
Okay.
Anybody that went to school from Trinidad, you know what I mean, or at least came back to the United States and probably got bumped up a grade because the Trinidad education system is far superior. You know what I mean, and I actually got that from the Brooklyn schools that I went to, Thomas Jeff. Or Marcus Douglas when I first entered, they said, well, since you came from that country, their education system is a little bit more stringent, and you're able to, you know, you will bump you up a grade. Yeah, man. But the funny thing is that I was held back a grade in the United States, but you know, given the opportunity to thrive in a different country in a different setting, I was perfectly fine. So that's something to note for the listeners. Yeah, man, just a little gem. But I'll let you go and step in.
Okay. J.K. Humble, thank you for the super chat, my friend. Let me make this point. I'm going to have to move on. It's getting close to my time.
Okay.
The kids in those schools over there, and let's say in different African nations, you can't grow up not being educated. You can't – thugging is not accepted in their communities at all. I've talked to a lot of our brothers and sisters.
Matter of fact,
become a thug or uneducated, they going to disown you a lot of times, okay? And then you talk about
the
teachers. The teachers look like, hold on, man. The teachers look
I'm sorry.
Okay. The 75% of the teachers here is all white female. They can't relate to a lot of these kids coming out the hood. They can't relate to our problems, our anger that we have. They can't relate to the racism that we deal with. Okay, then they get to school, and because sometimes the kids, at times, because the way we grow up, we get advanced quicker than maybe some of the other kids. And we get bored with some of the things. They don't have a way to
teach
us.
True, that's exactly what happened to me.
They can't teach us. And then they want to send us out, send us to a referral, suspend us, and on school suspension, and having the cops arrest us. So our biggest issue, if anything, you took from Trinidad, is we need to create our own schools that's Afrocentric, being taught by great black women and great black men. But, brother,
how come we're not supporting Dr. Umar? Hold on. How come we're not supporting Dr. Umar, though? Like, honestly.
Okay. And with that said, thank you. I'm going to have to move on.
All right.
Okay. Erico 773, you on the show.
Hi, Phil. This is Mrs. Susu. How are you doing today?
Oh, hey, sis. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm not going to keep you long, but I just want to make a quick note. In regards to the previous caller about white supremacy and how we can overcome that. And one of the biggest things,
ma'am,
I think that we as people need to start doing is getting into positions of power. That's one of the biggest things we need to do, whether that is running for your local county commissioner's office, whether that's being a manager at Walmart and trying to hire more people like us. We really have to start getting into positions of power to help ourselves out, because no one's going to do it for us. And I realized that by moving back down here to my hometown in Southeast Georgia. A lot of black people around here are looking uneducated, not knowing how the system works. So there's a lot of things that they're not getting just by not speaking their voice and being a part of a lot of political programs in this area. So one of the biggest things I want to say to everyone is thank you for your Patreon. Thank you for supporting what you got going on here, Phil. But at the same time, we as black people have to start realizing that we have no one but ourselves, and that we're not going to get up and start making a difference within our own community. How are we going to make a difference, and how are we going to combat white supremacy? So that's what I want to say today, Phil. I got to run, so I do apologize for being so quick, but thanks again for everything, and I appreciate everything that you're doing.
All right. Thank you, sis, for your opinion, and thank you definitely for joining us on Patreon. We definitely support it. Thank you.
You're welcome, and have a great day.
All right. Let's see. Last one here. Area code 203, you on the show.
Yeah. My name is Jude Owo. I just joined you on Patreon.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, so I'm actually calling from this Connecticut area. So I'm originally from Connecticut.
I couldn't hear that. What is the country, city? Which one you calling from?
From Connecticut. I'm calling from.
Oh, Connecticut. Okay. Gotcha. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so actually I just have a little contribution to make. Okay, so you can get from my accent that, you know, I'm actually Nigerian and I've been in the country for like
shout out to Nigeria. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So I've been around here for like 5 years, you know. But I'm a very conscious person, you know, so I don't need to be in a place for too long to see what's going on. So I did do a master's when I came here, and then so somehow I found myself in the school substitute teaching, and you know I've been to many of the schools I've been to are schools in the inner city, you know, like in New Haven area, and I'm gonna tell you my experience, what I've seen going on in the schools, because I've been in kindergarten classes, I've been with middle school, elementary grade, and high schools. And the pattern, what I've seen going on with black kids, especially black males, is I've seen that they have that this total lack of mentorship. So I'll give you instances. I've gone to kindergarten classes, you know, where I see very young. I went to one class where I walked in and then I had a lesson plan that was left by the teacher. And I read this lesson plan. And on this lesson plan, I was supposed to look out for three supposedly difficult kindergarten classes. So they're like 6 years and below, right? So we had a whole write-up with their names. This person is this, you have to be this. So I stand there, like that's my first time in the kindergarten class. I'm like, where are these little devils, you know? And everybody's all seated. And then I'm like, okay, so who is this? And I see this little black boy, he raises his hand up. And then, who is this? This little black girl, she raises her hand up. And then, I think the other kid was either Latino or something. So after teaching them, I had that whole class. I was wondering, but what's wrong with this kid? You know, all I could see, we are just very little, a little boy and a little girl that we are just, in my own judgment, they were just smart and, you know, very cool, running around. And at the end of the day, at dismissal, I had to play a role at dismissal. So I had to play a role in handing them over to the guardian or parents. So I remember the teacher from the next class, the elderly Caucasian lady. She like, Mr. O, your duty is not done for the day yet. We have to hand these kids over to their wards, to their parents. And then when it's time for the...
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. In Nigeria, if the kids act like that in class in Nigeria, would the teacher get that sick, right?
Sorry?
In Nigeria, what would the teachers do if the kids act that way in Nigeria in class?
Well, it's in Nigeria, there's a lot of respect. You know, teachers have a lot of power. There's a lot of respect. Teachers have a lot of power. You know, the your greatest fear is your parents telling you, I'm going to report you to your teacher. So this respect is very minimum. So we actually get our respect from schools in Nigeria. Little kids are little kids. At the kindergarten level, you don't have any lessons. You don't have a teacher leaving a long note about a kid. Kids are kids in Nigeria, you know. At the kindergarten level, the teacher sees those kids as her own children. That's how it works.
This is why we were telling a lot of us to get passports and start going to African nations, because, you know, I've talked to many people from different African nations, and they say that, man, you know, what goes on here in America versus what happens in African nations is two totally different things. And see, let me explain to you what happened to our kids. Our kids never acted this way prior to desegregation. And even after desegregation, our kids were always respectful. But when it got, I noticed, toward the late 90s to 2000 era, then you had these millennials that were born, and then they wasn't used to the way, at least that I was growing up, because what you're talking about, at least for us here in America, is called old school upbringing. where you have a lot of respect for your elders, respect for your parents. It's just a certain code that you live by. This millennial generation, they don't have that. They've been so integrated. They don't really have a whole sense of Black culture. And some of them are learning it, don't get me wrong. And that's great that they are. But they just totally disconnected in a lot of ways. And it's horrible that they that way. And so you see a lot of disrespect, especially for a Black person. They don't want to respect Black people or whatever. So we love our young brothers and sisters, we do. And like we had one call earlier. So there's still some great kids out there. But we have to deal with that. And hopefully with all this craziness that's happening in America right now with Donald Trump and the racism, and to get them in line too, say, wait a minute, you're not separated from Black folks either. You're not an individual. You're part of the group. So, brother, I thank you for calling, and I appreciate it. Thank you for joining us on Patreon. Make sure you check out the videos.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you, brother. All right, ladies and gentlemen. That was our brother that was originally Nigeria. I definitely appreciate him joining us on the show.